The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
In the midst of all of this, we find that individuals are looking for purpose. They're looking for identity. They're looking for something that will meet their need. Each individual, and they're kind of giving up the belief system as a whole, and they're saying, what is it I believe? What is it that I can put my hand to? What is it? Who am I? And I believe that's where God is focusing on the individual, and he's meeting individuals, and he's giving them identity in him, body, soul, and the mind realm. In all of those realms, he's beginning to help them see their true identity, and he's meeting that hunger that is in them.
Have you been looking for what's next in your walk with God? Do you find yourself on a plateau wondering, how do I get to the next upgrade in my faith walk? Well, then we have just the prescription for you. Coming up next on Sought Out Radio, we begin a three-part series on spiritual encounters in God and discuss how to get you over the hump from head to heart to breakthrough. So join us as we discuss an important subject for every Christian to know with two very inspiring authors, Jana Sini and Dan Hammer. That's coming up next, right here on Sought Out Radio. And we welcome you to Sought Out Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and I'm joined once again with Sought Out Ministry leaders, Herb and Bethany Marks. And our special guests today are Dan Hammer, senior leader of Sunrise Christian Center. And also joining us from Austin, Texas today is Jana Sini, who is the founder of The Elephant's Nest. Thank you all for joining us here today. It's exciting to have you here around the table. Very excited and talk about a special thing and a topic that we address from time to time. But Herb, let me just start with you. We were talking before we kicked off here that we were addressing, I think, really the presence of God and what God is doing today. And we talk about this a lot in a lot of different ways. But today we're talking a little bit about what is God saying to people. You guys all have the benefit of working with God's people. You're ministering to them, you're praying for them, you're around them all the time. And God is speaking to us today over others. And what is he saying to people today? How does he want to use the individual? How does that individual fit into the context of the body of Christ? And what is the body of Christ being called up to today? What do you think God is saying? So with that as kind of a backdrop, let me throw it to you and tell me what you feel like God is saying right now to the body of Christ today.
Mark, I'm really excited about today's broadcast, because it has a tremendous potential to be touching so many about where they're living, questions that they've been asking. Because when you say, what is God saying, and the involvement of the people of God, I think that's right the heartbeat of our Heavenly Father, is that he loves us so much that he is choosing not to do this thing alone, but engaging his people. And this is why there is such an uprising, I feel, of people saying, what is God saying? What is the will of God for my life? How do I know what he wants me to do? Because I think that he has upped the ante even more in causing a thirst, causing people to be hungry, causing people to ask questions. You know, what is he saying for me? I think we're right on schedule here. This is so exciting, because the alignment that he is putting down on the people of God is causing them to search at a higher altitude, I think. It's more important. I mean, I hear this so much, and maybe it's just something that I'm reading in my own life, but truly, I don't think there's been a greater pull that has been in the church regarding, what is he saying? What's he doing? Because I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
Is it different for younger people today? Do you think it's different for youth than it is for maybe our more seasoned people in the body?
Well, honestly, we're dealing with a generation that's rising up that's different than our generation, because they're incredibly relational. And also, we have a generation that's rising up that, you know what, once they catch that something is the real deal, they'll buy into it. And when they buy in, they really pour themselves into it. So they're incredibly relational, but you'll find also that they go at it with a zeal once they're convinced. But you've got to bring them across the line with authenticity, because it doesn't take much to turn the uprising generation off if they see things that are not true, if things are fake. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so this generation that's rising, it's easy to capture their hearts, providing that, first of all, our relationship with the Lord Jesus is the real deal. Because once they just watch us, then they'll believe us, and they want to be around where God is moving. There's such a hunger to be around where God is moving in power, in love, miracles. I mean, look at the Gospels. Look what Jesus did. That generation wants to be in step, wants to be right on the heels of that kind of stuff happening. Mm.
Janicini, the elephant's nest. This ties into, I think, what Herb just had to share. Why the elephant's nest?
Well, we wanted to start an outreach ministry in a coffee shop. And we didn't want it to be the normal religious sounding outreach. And many years ago, the phrase the elephant's nest had come through my thinking. And then through an odd coincidence, it was staring me in the face. So I said, okay, this outreach we're going to do, we're going to call it the elephant's nest, and that way there will be no spiritual threatening connotation to those that might back away from religious things. And what we do, we give words of encouragement, hope, confirmation. People come in and we send them to a team, and that team will ask God, is there something particular you want to speak to this person? And that person, we just share what we believe the Lord might be saying. And time again, it comforts them, it encourages them, it confirms things. I had a lady sit down in front of me, and I said, you know, Lord, is there something you want to speak to her? And I saw an exit sign, and then the exit sign turned into an atomic bomb explosion. And I thought, what in the world are you trying to say? And what I said to her was, you're facing an exit and you think it's going to be a disaster. But God wants you to know He's gone before you, He's made a pathway for you, and it's going to be okay. Big tears come down her cheeks. She says, I'm being fired from my job. And that's the thing, they encounter a living God with their guards down. You know, they're not there with their guards up. They come into the elephant's nest, and they're given a word of confirmation, encouragement, and hope, and they encounter God that knows them. And the beautiful part about it, it's just a group of ordinary people that we've trained to be able to recognize when God is talking and the ways that He speaks. And I don't tell them you have to get it right, and you don't tell them thus saith God. You simply say, I think this might be what He'd want to say to you. And it leaves them open to receive and decide whether or not it's really from the Lord. So we're impacting the area of Austin. People drive for 2 hours to come to the elephant's nest and to get a word of encouragement and comfort and hope.
Dan, how many people call their home Sunrise?
I think probably about 1,500 people.
That's a lot of people that you see every weekend, huh?
Yes, a lot of people.
So why is it important to teach them how to hear God?
Well, people are really looking for, how can I live life? And Jesus came to give us life. He came to set us free. I was bound most of my life until I was 21. I didn't really know freedom. I didn't even really know what life was really about. And I was just trying to exist. And in today's world, where there's so much trauma and things happening, particularly in young people's lives, they're looking for the reality of, what is life all about? Mm-hmm. What was I created for? Why am I here? Why are the things going on in the world that seem so strange today? And they're really crying out for, what is life really all about? What is really authentic in life? And that they want a reality. They want to know what the truth is. They want to know, you know, what is my life for? Why do I get up? Why am I working? Why am I going through all the things? And not just because my parents did it, but what is my life supposed to be about? So we're finding a lot of people that are really searching. And the good news is Jesus is just incredible at touching people right where they're at. meeting their needs, coming and showing them. And he wants them to know him intimately. He isn't a God that's afar off, or he isn't a God that's austere. He's a God that loves us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to share with us, you know, the things that are in his heart. So it's really amazing. I had my grandson, who was 5 at the time, I was having a grandpa, you know, grandson time, and I said, just as God made everything, it's so wonderful. Isn't this cool? You know, he created you, he created grandpa, he created your mom and dad. And, you know, I just sit there, and only as a 5-year-old can stump you as a 62-year-old pastor. He goes, then why did God create animals that eat people? And I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, and I could hear from his heart. It was really from his heart. It wasn't just something he was thinking up to stump grandpa.
Right, right.
And was so cool. And I said, Lord, this is really important to him. And so I'm going, well, Justice, what animals do you mean? And he goes, sharks. And I said, well, you know, God really created sharks to eat fish and be in their own habitat. And sometimes when humans bother them and come into the water, and they don't really like to eat people. And he goes, oh, they like shark food. And he goes, okay, Papa. And I went, phew. But, you know, it's just so cool how God, even to a 5-year-old little boy, will meet the needs of his heart.
Yes.
And that's what I see in young people. They're just crying out for reality.
How do we release people? How do we release people?
You equip them. You equip them with knowledge of who God is. You equip them with encounters with a living God. You equip them with who God says their identity really is, calling forth their true identity. Mm. You equip them to know what rightfully belongs to them, because they are God's child. And as you equip them, they discover who they are, and they begin to fulfill their purpose.
Thinking from the creative side, I always observe all the movies, all the TV series that are out there from Hollywood, and things like The Foxes that are so popular this fall. And my tie-in here is we have all the vampire stuff, we have all the, you know, just nasty stuff on coming out of Hollywood. But love, love, love. We have the War Room that was top in the charts all of Labor Day weekend. This, to me, reflects that people have this supernatural draw that they don't necessarily know what to do with, but they do know that they need a source to go to for prayer. Because War Room is all about going to God, laying it all out, you know, 125% on him, and that only he has the answers. Now, Hollywood doesn't know how to answer this necessarily. So the fact that a church out of Georgia produces this movie, and they've just improved every time they've made a movie, it's been so much better. And this one's really well done, and people, there's a draw, because this is a reflection of our country. This is a reflection today of this tearing, I hear all kinds of stories. You wouldn't believe the stuff that I hear from the younger generation. I'm so glad that I'm diplomatic, because it's quite shocking. And they're in our churches, and yet this what I'm trying to paint is this different, completely different tracks. Is a reflection of our culture today. It's a reflection of what people are really dealing with in the everyday life. And so one minute they're drawn to the wrong thing, and the next minute they're by the you know, hordes coming out to a movie and supporting I loved it.
Doesn't this come back to a little bit what Janice was just saying about people don't know who they are in God?
That's the tie-in, is this movie is putting something creative, something in entertainment that is packaging to resonate with them.
Yes.
And there's a resonating going on that is so critical right now, because whether it's our voices, God can use whatever he wants. He is speaking to our nation, to our region, to our to people everywhere. And this is a reflection, just one reflection of what you were talking about, Janice, of just his everything amazing that he's doing on the earth, is going to be showcasing him.
Yeah.
This is a small glimmer of showcasing God in the middle of all this other garbage that you can see anytime you turn the television on, anytime you go to the theater. And yet, here we have War Room that's just an amazing example of what I'm trying to communicate.
And people, yet, in the midst of all of this, we find that individuals are looking for purpose. They're looking for identity. They're looking for something that will meet their need. Each individual, and they're kind of giving up the belief system as a whole, and they're saying, what is it I believe? What is it that I can put my hand to? What is it? Who am I? And I believe that's where God is focusing on the individual, and he's meeting individuals, and he's giving them identity in him, body, soul, and the mind realm. In all of those realms, he's beginning to help them see their true identity, and he's meeting that hunger that is in them.
When we were praying, Herb, you got the word closer. So that's very individual.
I did. When we were praying about our radio broadcast, one of the emphases that just came to my heart was the word closer, that God is closer than we think. He's definitely desiring to be closer to us. Honestly, I think that there is an attempt to cause people to think and to feel that there's this tremendous labor that has to go out to get close to God. Actually, if we draw nigh to him, in other words, if we draw close, if our heart is longing to find him, he makes sure that he is found. And even in Jeremiah 29, just talking about if you seek God, he's going to be sure that you find him. He's much closer than we think. And so when we're dealing with the fact that people are hungry to really know what is genuine, what is authentic, when we know that God is causing people to become hungry for him, as he's aligning his church to love each other, loving God first, and knowing that he speaks, you see, now we're dealing with destiny, hope, and love. And destiny and love are the two major criterias of what the gospel offers to people. And we're in a tremendous deficit right now when it comes to people knowing what they're about, as what was mentioned, and also the crisis of what is really authentic love. A lot of romance out there, but the romance is not what love is. And we've lost our way in that as well.
When Herb was talking about closer, I was thinking about the passage I was studying for this week about how God loves individuals, and Janice brought it up. And here's Jesus in Mark 7, and all of a sudden there's a Syrophoenician woman.
Yeah.
She's not really worrying about, you know, God, religion, and so much. She has a daughter that has a demon. Mm-hmm. She has a need.
Yeah, she's in need.
And she comes and says, you know, will you come and deliver my daughter? And at first he doesn't say anything. And God doesn't speak to her right away, and he basically
he
says,
ignores
he ignores her, and he's silent, and he said, you know, we're not serving the lap dogs right now. This is the children. We're going to first feed the children. It would seem almost like Jesus is being mean, but he's really trying to draw the best out of her, and he's really trying to do more for her than she realizes. So it's amazing how he individually deals with her, and when he sees her faith, when she sees in the middle of the need, because many people, it's God speaking to people's deepest needs right now to draw them close.
Yes.
And so as soon as she said, well, even she's smart enough to say, well, even the dogs get the crumbs.
Right.
And when he heard her saying, he heard what was in her heart, and then he totally opens his heart to her. It's so awesome, and she gets delivered. And then right after that, they bring a man who's, you know, deaf, and he's dumb, and his friends bring him. And we need to be friends to people and bring their needs to Jesus, because he individually touches. He never healed anybody the same way, never said the same thing to anybody. He individually speaks to people.
That is so good.
And it's so important to realize that he's so rich as a master. He meets the needs of people. And if people would see God like that, that's what draws us closer. You know, I didn't give my heart to Christ because I was, you know, in this big theological thinking and wondering where the world. I was a drug addict and alcoholic, and I didn't know if I was going to live tomorrow. And I was losing my mind, and I was saying, if there's a God out there, please help. And when I just opened my heart that little, then it gave room for God to begin to pour his love into my heart.
Great segue. And, you know, my wife, Teresa, and I have talked a lot about the encounter that happened to Paul, who was literally persecuting Christians. He hated them. He was breathing smoke.
Yeah.
He wanted to kill every Christian he could get his hands on. There's nothing that the world can do to explain what happened to that man who went from persecutor, right, to preacher in an instant, unless something happened to him, which is my segue. I don't sense that there is a lack of attempt at intimacy in the body. What I sense is there's a lack of encounter in response from the intimacy. I don't know if that's because we're not steadfast, we don't pursue it enough, we don't continue after that until we get the encounter, or he's asking people to pursue them in a more greater way.
I personally believe it's just a plain ignorance of the ways of God. If you don't know what a cell phone is and you don't know how it operates, it can vibrate all over that table and you might even run from the room because you're thinking, what is that thing? If you don't know that when it makes a certain sound, you're to push this button, you could miss the most vital phone call of your life.
Yep.
And so many people are ignorant of the ways that God will speak. They don't know that all through the Bible, he would speak through a picture. He would say to the prophet, what do you see? And the prophet would say, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. That was an ordinary picture. But when he responded, God gave him an explanation. He called Samuel's name three times, and he did not use his God voice. He actually used Eli's voice.
Right.
And on the third time, Eli said, oh, that's probably God. And you must say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We think if God's going to talk to us, he'll just do it. But he's polite. If I knock on the door, I'm not going to bust through that door. I'm going to wait for you to open it and receive me. And so often God bumps our life and waits for us to respond. And we never respond because we don't know how the cell phone works. We don't know he might speak through a picture. We don't know he might speak through a dream. We don't know that you might hear an odd phrase. He might flash a movie scene in front of you that you haven't thought about for 20 years. And if you know to say, God, is that you trying to talk to me? You'll hear the rest of the story. But if you don't respond, all you'll get is, that's really weird that I'd think about that movie scene after all these years. I had that happen to me one time, but I knew the ways of God. I had a scene from The Planet of the Apes flash in front of me in my mind. And I thought, there's no reason for me to think about that. So I said, God, are you trying to talk to me? And instantly on the inside, I heard him say, anytime you allow your head to rule your spirit, to me it looks like a scene from The Planet of the Apes where the inferior is ruling the superior. And I had this entire encounter with God simply because I knew how to answer my cell phone. And I believe there's ignorance in the body of Christ of the ways of God. They've made it mystical. They've made it hard.
Superstitious.
They've made it superstitious. Yep. They've made it complicated. They've made it works. When it's actually, you find out the way he speaks, and you say, God, are you trying to talk to me? And you start having encounters with him.
Well, ignorance is just not knowing something.
Right.
It's not a derogatory thing. So, Dan, how do we get people to a place where they can recognize these things?
The scripture keeps coming to me, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, I don't know if food's good until I taste it. I don't know if I like McDonald's cheeseburger or Canless steaks until I go in. But once I've gone to Canless, and then McDonald's burgers don't appeal to me much anymore. I've got to go there just a few times, and people have taken me there, which is really nice. But, you know, you begin to taste, and you get around people who are tasting and encountering God, and there's something about being around people that influence our life, people that have encounters with God. And as we share our encounters, because they're not going to hear about God unless we tell them. And not only that we tell them, but we show them how you hear God, how much he loves them. And sometimes the messages in the past that we've given as the body of Christ have not helped individuals know that God really loves them and that God is really concerned about their life, that he wants to be involved in every detail. that he loves us so much that he can invade our life anytime he wants to. And you start to taste his goodness, and nothing else really satisfies.
Thanks, Dan. A great thought about the idea of more. And how do we know if there is more? If we don't get out of our comfortable places long enough to taste and see if there is an encounter with God just ahead. Friends, the Bible is chock full of these types of experiences. It's not just a book. It's a reminder and a historical account of man's interactions and encounters with God. If you're of the mind that God does not interact with his people today, we would like to invite you to any sought-out meeting and put that theology to the test. After all, Paul tells us that we should test our faith in 2 Corinthians 13:5, unless we're afraid we won't pass the test. So won't you be our guest at the next sought-out ministry meeting in your area? To find out the nearest location to our future meetings, please go to our website at isoughtout.com today. If you'd like more information on our special guests, Dan Hammer or Janice Sini, please write us at radio@isoughtout.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For Herb and Bethany Marks and our special guests, Janice Sini and Dan Hammer, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again next week for part two of Encounters with God, right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.